right, good morning. Today is going to be a little bit different. I want to start by reading Psalm 67. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face shine upon us. That your way may be known on earth, your saving power among all the nations. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God, let all the peoples praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. Let the ends of the earth fear him." So this psalm reminds us that God is not the God of Israel only, that he is the God of all nations. And one of our callings as followers of Jesus is to go out into all of the world and let everyone know that God reigns and that Jesus has defeated sin and death through his resurrection from the dead. And today we are going to celebrate that. It is Mission Sunday. And so we're going to talk about several of the missions initiatives that we have been involved in this past year. A little later, we are going to hear from one of our high school students that was a part of the high school mission trip to Mexico. And then we're going to hear from Jeremiah. He's going to talk to us about the Bolivia mission trip and the time that the team spent with USPA this year. And then finally, we are going to commission a member of our own congregation into full-time missionary service. So it's gonna be a really cool time. Before we get to that, the first thing that we're gonna hear from is we're gonna hear from one of the families of one of our middle school students. Every summer, our middle school ministry does a family mission trip. And so what that is like a local mission trip that involves the whole family, not just the students, but the whole family. It's a really neat thing. And we're going to hear from the Smees about their experience of that this year. But before we hear from them, we are going to watch a short video recap of the trip.
How's it going, guys? Good. I am the Associate Youth Ministry Director here, aka Junior High Pastor around here. But they gave me a more official title. But I get the opportunity to talk a little bit about our mission trip. And when I first came on staff here, I was like, what do you guys do for a mission trip for us? Aren't we supposed to take the kids away from their family for a week or something like that? And Johnny told me, no. We do this together. And instead of talking about it and raving about it myself, I thought it'd be cool to hear from some of the families that went this year. So we're going to hear from the Smee family, who had a great time. How many years have you guys been doing this now? Because 2 years?
Yeah, 2 years.
About 2 years now. I got to remember to give you the mic as well. But so 2 years. And first question, where did you guys end up serving? Because we go all over the Seattle area, all the way down to Tacoma and then up to Seattle. So where'd you guys end up serving this trip?
Well, and that's one of the things I love about this trip is that we get to serve in all these different venues and all these different areas, that we get to see what works best for our family and there are places that we could go back. But this year, we started out at a farm. I think it was Mother Earth Farm, and we gardened weeded for 6 hours. Yes, that was a lot, but it was really cool. And that farm, they are totally organic farm, and they have this, they try to get all their produce out within 24 hours to all the food banks and local areas. So it's really cool to be a part of that. And then the next day we went to a senior center and we did a lot of like groundskeeping there. I think I painted, I think Emma planted flowers or
no,
people
I
working.
Waited.
Oh, she weeded, weeded again. And then we ended up at Northwest Harvest, and they are another nonprofit organization that provides food banks, and we packaged cherries there, which was pretty cool. So, yeah.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean, when you think mission trip, you think you're face-to-face with the homeless or the needy, but a lot of this trip is just like getting down in the dirt and getting dirty a little bit, like pulling weeds almost a whole day, right, and being super sore the next day. Now, I wanted to hear some of just like a highlight from one of you guys. Emma, you're super excited to share a little highlight. What was something that stuck out to you on this trip?
Well, so when we went to a senior center, so my goal this year was to like talk to people that were a little different than me. And so I met a dude that was a little different, and I tried to get to know him, and like I asked him some questions. And so that made me really proud that I actually did that, because that sort sometimes makes me nervous.
Yeah. Another highlight I had was when you're working, you were put in groups at the beginning of the trip, and we got to know the people in our group. So at the end of the trip, we got in a circle, and we wrote nice things about each other for each person in our group. And so not only are we hanging out with our families, we're hanging out with other families, and then we got to grow. So, yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, it's one of the most amazing things to do together as a family. On that point, why is this trip so important as a family together?
I just thought it was a good opportunity. I think this is our second year to be with other families, too. We got to know more. I think there was a lot more families that went this year. So on that front, just exposing our kids to other wonderful parents, and the worship together was really, really neat. A lot of times church mission trips were separate. You know, I might go to Bolivia, junior high is separate, but to do it as a family was neat, to see that hard work pays off, and that other people, other organizations, these folks do this every day. It's hard, hard work. And we may have pulled weeds for 6 hours, that sort of thing, but every day these folks are working hard. I think it's good for our kids to see that, so, and myself.
Yeah, it's great to see. It's a unique trip because the kids not only get to see like the youth leaders and other families working, they get to see their own parents serving alongside them, and it's so cool. On that note, kids, what stuck out, or students, sorry, not kids, you guys are grown up. What stuck out to you guys doing this with your parents? Like, usually it's like a get out of jail free card. I get to get away from my parents for the week and hang out with some cool people. But what stuck out to you guys?
Well, sometimes my parents will hear about nice things I do, or I'll hear about some things they do. And seeing each other do things for God, for other people, is kind of cool. And they're good role models for me. And when I do good stuff, they'll be proud of me. I think it's a good bonding time for us to work together and know that we're doing the right thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And then parents, same question, but kind of reversed. What stuck out to you about taking this trip as a family? I mean, I guess I already asked that, but watching your kids.
Well, and I think one thing I love about this trip is it's not just a mission trip. You also get to do camp in the afternoon, which it's so fun to go and do camp with our kids too and watch them do a zip line or jump off something really scary, and to all do it together is a really cool bonding experience too. So you get to serve together and play together. So,
and for me, it's time to unplug a little bit and get away from the daily grind. And to that point, it really is kind of a mix of camp and missions. So for me, I know I'm super, super busy, probably on my phone way too much, and this place gives a great opportunity. This Black Diamond Camp was the location we all stayed, and very, very cool, and quite honestly, there's relaxation, worship, fellowship, food, the whole thing. So, and then in the afternoons, a lot of hard work, so it was good.
Yeah. Well, thank you, guys. Give them a round of applause. All right, you guys can go. Yeah. All right. And next up, we have, we're going to show a little, another high school mission trip video. They went to Mexico this year. So this video kind of showcases everything they did down there. And then some of the student interviews, just what they did, what they served. And then afterwards, Rachel is going to come up with Colby and talk about it. All right.
Oh, I love this video. It brings it all back. I feel like that, oh, it's still going. I loved this little intro. Okay, let's try that again. As you can see, there were some baptisms. The trip was amazing. God was clearly moving all week, and I was so encouraged the whole week to hear from our students of the ways that they saw God doing so. And it was just a week where we were all stretched. We were stretched out of our comfort zones, and God was able to work so clearly in their lives. And I loved hearing during the week students saying, wow, I can just see God moving. And hearing the ways that they got to see that for themselves was so encouraging. But I thought it would be fun to hear a little bit from one of our students. He was on my team, and he definitely had God working in his life all week, and I would love to just hear a little bit from Colby. Colby, how did you see God working in your life that week?
Hey, so I'm Colby. I saw God a lot of ways there, but first off, I think it's really cool that I get to talk to you guys. Because you guys support us through a lot of things like the gala and stuff, and I feel like you don't get to hear from us like what your support's actually doing, so I think that's really cool. But so I saw God in a lot of ways. Mainly it was through the culture that was there. It's so different from ours, and to see God's love still working in their lives and in our lives, even though there's such a big difference in the way that we live our lives at home, it's incredible. And that actually, that I was thinking about that the whole trip, and it led me to get baptized there, actually. And I don't know if you saw in the video, but so like it really cemented in my head that like, wow, Jesus really does love me. But it's not only me, it's all these kids here, it's all these people we're helping, it's this church in this part of town, this church in that part of town, it's all of us. And that was really impactful for me. Another way I saw him working was just in the lives directly of the kids. We were there. I think God was working through us when we were down there. We were able to give a lot of what we had from when we came from Washington down to them. We were able to give them like fun games that they love to play. And the last group that was there actually taught them this one game called Pikachu. And they were still playing it when we got there. So I'd like to think that some of the games that we played with them, they're still playing. So that's really cool. I'll tell you guys a little funny story about when I got baptized. So I asked my friend Jaren to help, and of course Johnny's doing it, and it's in the ocean, so it's freezing cold. So I was asking Jaren, hey, do you want to baptize me? And he's like, he looked at me, he's like, oh man, like I'm gonna do it, I know I am, but the water's freezing, you know. And so he was like, all right. And then as he was walking away, his phone started ringing, and he picked it up, and it was another student, Ben, who was calling him, and he was like, hey Jaren, do you want to baptize me in the ocean? And so not only did he have to do it to me, but he also had to do it to Ben. So he was in there for a while. But yeah, it was a really cool trip. But you know, you guys support us so much, so it's awesome that, you know, you guys give us that opportunity. So
thanks, Colby. Also, since I have the microphone for a second, I just wanted to say a huge thank you to you all as well. This year has been amazing, and I've loved getting to be a part of the Believers Fellowship community, and you will all hold such a great place in my heart forever. But next up, we have a little bit from the Bolivia trip, and Jeremiah will be talking after the video, so let's see what we have there.
Thank you. lean on the Word of God for support. And you should too. I encourage everyone to pray, because when you pray, you build a relationship with Him. As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another.
To help you, and it is our privilege to partner with you. Sometimes in the United States we say, don't talk about it, be about it. Joining together as a family of Christ as we are ambassadors to the world.
All right, bear with me if I mess up this microphone because I'm used to the Britney Spears deal. So. First of all, thank you to Stephanie Davis, who put together that video for us. She cut that video down from 22 minutes, I think. So if it was a little rapid fire, that's because we wanted to pack as much in as possible. I had the privilege of leading the team to Bolivia this year. Matt threw the reins to me, said, I trust you. Don't mess us up or you're fired. So I promptly got sick. And luckily, we have such a great team that they didn't even really need me. So thanks for everyone who prayed for me while I was over there. While we were there, we had an opportunity to partner with FH, which is the organization who are boots on ground down there, who are doing the real work. And we got to be a part of what they were doing. And they invite us every year to do something like, we need you to teach on a topic. We need you, maybe not need, you're invited to teach on a particular topic. And half of it is you saw us doing kind of ridiculous, wonderful skits. See that? That's like, yeah, I want to be a part of that. It'll crush your pride real fast, whether you're a professional actor or actress or not. Yeah, it's a fun time. So we were invited to do a couple of teaching opportunities on stewardship. And you saw Bryant Pitts teaching in the park there, and he got to teach the teenagers on the topic of stewardship. And that was Bryant's second year, and it was amazing to see how when you put someone in a situation that they're not usually in, you'd be surprised how much you get brought up to the occasion and God works through you in that. How many of you have been to the Bolivia trip before? Been on it? A fun little scattering. If you haven't gone, I would encourage you to go in the future. We're wrapping up a 10-year relationship with the community there, and I don't know if you remember, but we've been working on a water project for a very long time, and what you saw there towards the end, Dave Kilcup put the switch over and the water is good to go. So, right, yeah. I know, I was really excited about that, and that happened to be one of the days when I was sick. I was like, come on. So we will absolutely talk more about this. We're going to take a day in the fall to really give this its due, because this has been a very long-term project that we've been on. But I just wanted to highlight some of the little points we went along the way. We got to do a teaching in the park. We got to do skits. We got to do a lot of games with the kids. And they were all opportunities for us, as much as for them, to understand that we're one big family. One of my favorite memories from this trip was one of our participants was looking for his sponsor families. And so if you sponsor a kid, well, you go and meet them and you go hang out with them. And he had seen them the day before, but we were going to meet again in the park. And he was like, where's my family? I think my family's here. And he didn't mean, he didn't mean like, where's my sponsor family? He meant like, my family. When you spend time and when you do life on life with people, there you find out, which I mean, we all know on a heart level, we know these, it's our brothers and sisters in Christ. But when you're there with them, it becomes so much more real. So there's no way that I could possibly go through everything we did in Bolivia right now. I protested against my time constraints. We'll probably cover it again in the fall. So I'm going to pass it over to Matt, who's going to come up and introduce Dan Kane.
Thanks, Jeremiah. Really good to hear from everybody, from the high school students, from the middle school families, about all the things that that God was able to do this summer. We're going to end our service today by commissioning Dan Kane into missionary service. If you don't know Dan, he and his wife Shannon and their kids Larissa, Josiah, and Elijah were members of our congregation from 2006 to 2011, while Dan served as a funeral director over at Haven of Rest. And then in 2011, God called Dan into a parish ministry, and so he and his family left Believers Fellowship, and they moved to the Midwest, where he got into a pastorate there. And then this year, God has called Dan into full-time missionary service, and he's working with an organization called Tri-M. Now, Tri-M gets their name from their ministry model. It's mobile module ministry. So, in other words, they take seminary modules, they set up seminary modules all around the world for pastors who are pastoring in, like, difficult fields. And so these pastors can come and they can receive biblical and theological training in, like, one-week intensives. So I want you to think through a scenario, just to get us going here. You're going to have to use your imagination a little bit. So imagine it's 1990, and I realize I've lost a lot of you already because you weren't born then. I'm getting old. But so for those of you who are under 30, in the 90s, before then, there was this thing called the Soviet Union, all right? And it crumbled apart in the early 90s. And so imagine you're alive in this time of history, and you're a Russian pastor. Okay, now under Soviet control, you had to be kind of really secretive about things. But now that the Soviet Union has collapsed, you have a little bit more freedom, and so you've been getting by secretively all of these years with just your Bible and your little underground house church. But now that you can be a little bit more open about things, you feel like you should go get maybe a seminary degree or some kind of training so that you can have confidence that what you're teaching your congregation is actually the truth. So what do? There are no evangelical seminaries in Russia. And you're poor, so you can't really like quit your job and go off to some other part of the world to study, and your church can't support you to do that. So what do? Well, that is where Tri-M comes in. They bring the seminary to you, right? So they find a bunch of other pastors in your community that are in a similar situation, and they fly in a Bible scholar from the United States, and they set up like a one-week intensive so that you and all of the other pastors in your area can kind of come in for a one-week intensive, you learn the Bible, and then you go back to your church and you teach through what you learned until it's the next time for the next module. And over time, you do that over and over again, and eventually you get a seminary degree. And you didn't even have to quit your job or go off to seminary. And so Tri-M, they started this model in the former USSR, and now they do it like all over the world. It works. The model works really well in like Muslim countries where it's very difficult to set up a permanent seminary or where pastors can't openly evangelize people. It works in Southeast Asia, and it's just a great way to get biblical and theological training for people who are just, they're already doing the work of the ministry in their home country, and they just need some training. So Dan, he works with Tri-M, and his role is he sets up these modules all over the world, and he invites people like Jeremiah, invites them to come out and teach these pastors, teach them through the Bible or theology or something like that. And I'm not going to tell you what countries he works in because we're broadcasting, but Dan's going to have, he has a table right out there. He'd love to talk to you about what he's doing, so you can come up to him after the service and ask him. But I want Dan to come up now. There he is, Dan, and as well as some of the other elders as well. I've asked you to come up. We're going to commission Dan, we are going to lay hands on him and commission him as our sending church. So before we get going on that, what is a commissioning, you ask? Well, that's a really good question. We get it from Acts 13, 2-3, where the church in Antioch is commissioning Paul and Barnabas for missionary service. And Acts 13, 2-3 says, "The Holy Spirit said, 'Set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work in which I have called them.' And then after fasting and praying, they lay hands on them and sent them off." So what we're going to do, I'm going to take a step back, and Dan, you're going to come up to where this podium is, and the rest of you are going to lay hands on him. And first, I'm going to read a couple passages over you. These are from 2 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 6. These are passages in which Paul is writing to Timothy and just encouraging him to fulfill his ministry. And then afterwards, we're going to pray. And so Dick and Gary, you guys have volunteered to pray. And then after you pray, I will close us in prayer. So Dan, I want you to know that we believe in you, and we believe that God has called you to this work. So you come here in the center, and you guys kind of get around him and put your hands on him, and I'm going to read something first before you pray. This is from 2 Timothy 4 and 1 Timothy 6. "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions and turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded. Endure suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Fulfill your ministry. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called and about which you made the good confession in the presence of many witnesses. I charge you in the presence of God, who gives life to all things, and of Christ Jesus, who in his testimony before Pontius Pilate made the good confession, to keep the commandment unstained and free from reproach until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he will display at the proper time. He who is the blessed and only sovereign, the King of kings and Lord of lords, who alone has immortality and who dwells in unapproachable light, whom no one has ever seen or can see, to him be honor and eternal dominion. Amen." Let's pray.
Father, I thank you for Dan and for our friendship that goes back so many years, and I think of the years that he ministered here at Believers in a number of different ways, and I am so grateful for his life, for his love for you, for his heart for sharing the word, and teaching others who will in turn teach others. And Father, I thank you for all of his gifts, for all of the education, all the experiences of life that you have pulled together to move him into this new adventure for his life. And Father, we know that he'll be going into places that are hostile to the gospel. We pray for your protection over him. We also pray that you would keep the evil one far from him. And Father, we just look forward to all that you're going to do in and through him in the years to come, and to hear reports of how your kingdom is being advanced and the gospel is going forth. And we pray as well for Shannon. You'll be watching over here, over her, during those times when Dan is far away.
Father, we are grateful for how you have equipped Dan and Shannon and their family for this service. We thank you for all of the experiences and life that they have lived thus far that has equipped them so well to serve others. And Father, it's fun to think about churches in other parts of the world that Dan can go and help equip as you have equipped him. And Father, I thank you for his commitment, for his desire to do that. And we thank you for the people that he will be training, and whether they're pastors or Christian leaders in other parts of the world that none of us would ever venture into. I pray that you would just give him safety and just the ability to communicate well in those environments. And Father, we know he's already been in some difficult countries thus far, and there's more coming up in the coming weeks. And we just pray for your safety, for your protection, and then just that he can so capably equip those who don't have the opportunity to study in back in the United States. So, Father, we're grateful for he and Shannon and their family, grateful for how you've prepared them for this, and we marvel at your handiwork in their lives, Father.
Father, I do echo these prayers. I thank you for Dan and his gifting and his passion for your word. Now I just pray that your spirit would be upon him. We thank you for the work that these brave pastors overseas are doing. And I just pray that you would use Dan to faithfully teach your word to them, that they may be equipped to better serve their congregations. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Dan. Let's give Dan a round of applause. Yeah. Well, this brings us to our time of response, and the band's going to come back up. We have an instrumental song and then another song that we're going to sing together. And while we sing, we're also going to celebrate the Lord's Supper. You'll notice we have tables all around the room for that. If this is your first time here, know that you are free to join us at the table, but you're also free to stay where you are if that's uncomfortable for you. While we sing and while we celebrate, I'd also love to pray for you. I'll be standing right back there. Jeremiah will be back there in that corner. He'd also love to pray for you. So if there's anything going on, big or small, we would love to pray for you. But I want to close with an excerpt from John Piper's book on missions called Let the Nations Be Glad. And it gets its title from the psalm that I read at the very beginning of this message. Here's what John Piper says about the relationship between missions and worship. He writes, "Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exist because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. And when this age is over, and the countless millions of the redeemed fall on their faces before the throne of God, missions will be no more. It's a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. So worship, therefore, is the fuel and the goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions, we simply aim to bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples in the greatness of God." And that's true. That's true. The goal of missions is to bring, what Piper says, bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. I love that. So right now we remember that we beheld the glory of God in Jesus. John 1:18 tells us about Jesus that no one has ever seen God. The only God who was at the Father's side has made him known. It's on the cross that the glory of God is most clearly seen. God became man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on a cross. But through Jesus' death and resurrection, sin and death were defeated once and for all. And we remember that right now. Would you stand with me while we prepare for the Lord's Supper? The Apostle Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, also, he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.'" Let's pray. Father, You're God over all of the world. And we thank you for the work that we get to see you do here in Gig Harbor, the lives that we see redeemed, turned around, growing in their reflection of Jesus, and we worship you for that. But we also confess that you are at work all around the world, and we thank you also for the taste of that that many of us got to see this year, whether that was in Mexico or even just here in the South Sound or all the way in Bolivia. We thank you for that. We thank you for the work that Tri-M is doing. We just ask, and Food for the Hungry as well, and these other organizations that we've partnered with. Father, we just ask that you would grant them faith and encouragement so they might keep going, keep strengthening your disciples, keep spreading the gospel. And Father, right now we join at the table with followers of Jesus all around the globe and remembering his death for sins on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.